Griffith. Thank you. This is the fourth of a series with each with a story, a parable, if you will, a story with meaning that has come in through my life, and I've become aware in my life that I thought we would share. So last week, we talked about believers who don't believe, and that may have stirred up some concern among some people, maybe some anger, some hostility. And so I want to talk a little bit about how one knows that one is a believer. And one knows that in part because what the Holy Spirit is doing in a life, and in part by what you have, because we do have free will in this sense, you have decided to believe and receive. You've decided to make Him first in your life. You've decided to find out what God wants you to do in your life. Wherever you are, in whatever station of life you're in, whether you're working or staying home or raising children or getting an education, whatever, how does God's kind of person do that? You have a desire in your heart to know what God would want you to do. Would He want you to change what you're doing? Would He want you to do what you're doing in a different way, in a better way? And so Christ calls you. He reaches down to you. Philippians 1:6 talks about God beginning a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And we often look at that. Thank you, Lord, you're going to bring your work to completion all the way to my own death. But He began it. He begins it first. You can't even think about coming to Him unless He's working to call you. So He calls you. He puts a decision in your heart to know Him. You know you're not acceptable to Him in your situation. You have sin. You miss the mark. You even when you try your best, you don't do it perfectly. What you try to do for Him is imperfect and done often for the wrong reason. Look, Lord, look what I did for you. Isn't this wonderful? No. Look what God is doing through you. So there's a verse that really speaks to me on this. It's a verse that many of you are familiar with, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Ooh, that's a hard one. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths, or He'll make your paths straight, depending on the translation you read. He'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Leave your future at His feet. Lean not unto your own understanding. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He promises to direct you. So if you come to a why in the road, a major why, a major direction in the road, a major change in your life, and I'm facing one even tomorrow, you ask yourself, okay, what does God's kind of person do in this? If you let folks know you're a person of faith, you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, and you're trusting in Him, then that why path, the decision one way or the decision the other way, will be made clear to you. He promises that. So I want to tell you a story that has meant a lot to me. And this is called the Carpenter Story. So we don't see in Scripture much about Jesus Christ in His youth. There are some glimpses. He teaches in the temple when he's 12 and brings forth wisdom and but for the most part during that time of his life as he grew in his understanding of who he was and who he is and what his purpose was to be, we don't see much. But he lived with his mother and with his stepfather Joseph and Mary, because the Holy Spirit was his father, and Joseph was a carpenter. And so being the eldest of the kids in that family, and we know he had brothers and sisters, but being the eldest, the father, the head of the family, Joseph, would have taught him his trade. And so he was a carpenter. And so I see Christ, and this is just in my own mind, imagining what those years might have been like. We see Christ learning the trade and being subservient to Joseph and serving those around him. If we look at that, here's the way I see that. So that carpenter, in this case, Jesus Christ, is standing there doing some project for his father, for his earthly father. And on that table, he's before him are a bunch of tools. So that carpenter has all his tools laid out. He's got a drill. He's got a hammer. He's got a chisel. He's got sandpaper. He's got glue. He's got all the things he needs. And those tools are you and I. And they're laid out on that table. And he looks down and at that table and he says, "This is the tool I need. And let me reach down and take that tool and pick it up." Those tools don't yell at him. They don't say, use me, although we do see a prophet in the Old Testament that said, "Here am I, Lord, take me." But in this story, those tools are just laying there. I imagine myself as a chisel. What's my job as a chisel laying on this table? Well, my job is to stay sharp. My job is to keep the corrosion off. My job is to be available. His job is to pick me up and use me. And when he does, he begins to make something. I don't understand what he's making. I'm just pleased that he picked me to use me for that day. Some days he pushes on me hard to knock lumps of wood and shape a piece of wood and make it into what he wants. And some days he has to take a hammer, somebody else off that table, another tool, and beat on me with it to make me chop away at that wood. But he's working to create something because he is the creator. So he's God the Son. He could speak a word and make what he's going to make. It would appear. He did that certainly with creation, with the universe. However, he has chosen to use me, a chisel, and somebody else, a hammer, to get done what he's going to do. And then if we aren't careful, we have a tendency to say, "Oh, what are you making? I have an idea. Wouldn't you like to do it this way or that way or the other way?" And if I'm not careful with those thoughts, he'll put me down. Because he's the creator. He knows what he wants. "Oh, let's make a chair." "Okay, we'll make a chair." "Okay, sir, we've made lots of chairs. We know how to do that." "Okay. Oh, this is a special chair. It's got curved bottom to it. It's got rungs on the bottom, and then the very bottom are curved." "Well, why would you want to make a chair like that? It's unstable. I'm not sure I understand what you're wanting to do, and I'm really not sure you're doing it the right way." And he says to me, "You don't know the mind of the Lord." That's Romans 11, verse 34, by the way. He says to me, "It's okay. Just be a good chisel and trust me for the results." And as time goes by, wow, look what he's created. We would call it a rocking chair. Well, that's different. Now, what would be the purpose of an unstable chair that rocks? And how many millions and millions of young mothers have rocked their babies and nursed their babies and cherished and loved their babies in that rocking chair, something that chisel couldn't even picture. And that's what he's doing in your life and mine. He's making of something that you don't understand at this point. You can only walk by faith because you don't know the truth deeply, and you don't know the consequences of what he's really planning to do in your life or what he's planning to use you to do in others' lives. To me, that's profound. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says again, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding." I don't understand what's going on with this. Trust him. He's working. He's using you to work a work in your life and in the life of those around you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. "Yep, I'm a believer. I love the Lord." And he will direct your paths. And what comes from that may be astonishing to you. And you may not even know it in this life. You may not know it until the next life where somebody says, "Because of what you did and what you said, I'm here in heaven with you." That's profound to me. So thanks for listening to us, and let's close as we pray. So, Father, let us walk by faith, trusting in you for the outcome, even though we don't understand what's happening, knowing that you are going to use us. You promised to use us. My job is just to stay close to you, be aware of you, stay sharp, stay free of sin as best I can in this flesh you've given me, but trusting in you for the outcome and the amazing creative things that you can and will do through your children. What a blessing that is, and what an opportunity to grow in faith and to experience your glory and joy with you eternally. We thank you that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.